Oh, yeah, I feel that. I feel that in the Holy Ghost right now. Woo! I feel that in the spirit. Can we just tarry for just a moment longer? I know this is unconventional. I understand you're waiting for my message, but I just feel to stay right here for just a moment longer. Come on, it's like the Holy Ghost is pushing us right now. It's the Holy Ghost pressing us right now. How deep are you willing to go here tonight? Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. This is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And for those that are a part of this church, you know that I would do you a disservice if I don't share with you what the Holy Ghost has shared with me. And through the entirety of this service, I just wish to be led of His Spirit. And what I felt in the Holy Ghost is that this weekend, this Restore Conference, is a very pivotal moment for the Pentecostals of Lodi. And although there is physical territory that has been acquired, I believe God is about to allow this church to conquer spiritual territory. So I feel the expectation, and I pray that the expectation remains throughout the entirety of this service. I feel a very strong vein to speak some direct things into this atmosphere. And there will be times where I will speak to you, but then I will speak to things around you. And I believe it is important because you don't only speak to the dry bones, but you also have to speak to the wind. Speaking to the dry bones brings organization, it brings assembly. But speaking to the atmosphere and the surroundings brings life. And it was when the man of God began to speak to the wind that all of a sudden, Brother Baumeister, something began to shift. And everything that came together now was alive. And there was breath in the bones, and there was life in what was once dead. And I love it that we're together, and I love it that we are all united. But if the Spirit doesn't enter into this house, we're just dry bones that have gathered together for a service. I don't know what kind of conference you came here to visit, and I don't know what kind of meeting you thought this was, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. We're not only here just for the Instagram post. We're not only here so we can promote it on YouTube or Facebook, but we want to speak to the wind here tonight. I want something to begin to rush into this house like a mighty rushing wind, begin to fill the house in which they were in. I don't know about you, but I feel like a Acts chapter 2 kind of service here today. So I implore you and the Holy Ghost to take heed to where the Holy Ghost is going to lead us in just a couple of moments. I've been on paternity leave. That's a thing nowadays, praise God. And I haven't preached in about a week and a half, so I got a lot to say tonight. It's been bottling in me, I'm telling you. I almost released it to my wife, but I said, no, this is for the Pentecostals of Lodi. Amen. Praise God. And so I feel to preach here tonight. Are you wanting to hear the word of the Lord? Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for this wonderful opportunity to be in the house of the Lord with great like-minded people, people that desire the things of God. And I know that the Lord is wanting to do something very distinct and something very supernatural in this house. And so I just want to move out of the way and just have the Lord have His way in this service. Amen. Amen. Give honor to the Baumeister family. Are you thankful for your pastor and first lady? I think we could do a little better than that. Are we thankful for our leadership? Amen. What a great man of God and woman of God that are here in Lodi. And I love them and I appreciate them. I admire Pastor Baumeister. And, you know, we've had great opportunities to travel together and be sick at the same time and have stomach issues. If you want any more details, see me after service. But I thank the Lord for this great man of God and his family and what they represent here in the city of Lodi. And I don't think it's a coincidence or a happenstance that the Lord dropped them here in this city. And God positioned them strategically, and I believe there's a lot of things that has been spoken over their lives, and I just feel a quickening of those things are going to come to pass very soon in Jesus' name. A quickening in the Holy Ghost. A quickening of things that have been spoken over this pastoral family in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this church. Appreciate every saint, every member, the ministry team of this wonderful church. Been so kind and have opened their arms to me and my wife. And I apologize for my wife's absence. She is currently in recovery. This week she gave birth to our first child. Amen. Amen. We decided to call her Sophia. It's a Greek word that means wisdom. And so I pray that she's wise enough to let her parents sleep at night. Praise God. But I thank the Lord for his hand upon my wife, and everything went smoothly. And she is a very chubby baby, praise God. And she's got big fat cheeks. Amen. You just kind of want to, you know, eat those little. Yeah, I got words. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love them and I'm thankful for them. And she's been praying for me. And so I'm so blessed. Amen. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. Amen. If you have your Bibles, quickly, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. Amen. Give honor to all of the ministers, all of the preachers that are in this house. Amen. So thankful for the body of Christ, the body of able ministers that are doing the work of God all throughout North America. And I give honor to them today. And what a great worship team we had today. Amen. A wonderful worship team. Appreciate Brother Moore, anointed of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wonderful man of God. I appreciate him. Amen. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. I know this is a very well-known scripture, a renowned scripture, but I wish with the help of God to take a different perception, to take a different angle to this thing and try to show you what the plan and what the purpose was for this vision that was given to the prophet Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel 47, verse number 1, when you have it, you can say amen. The Bible says, "And afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and he led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And verse 4 says, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that hath, that could not be passed over. With the help of the Holy Ghost today, I want to preach to you under this title, The Bread, the Altar, and the River. The Bread, the Altar, and the River. Could you lay your Bibles aside and lift your hands together with me? Let's go before the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him to have His way in this house. Can somebody say with me, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Father, I bind every distraction, God. I bind every device of the enemy. I bind every thought. I bind every imagination. Every stronghold that tries to rise up against the Word of God today. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. For the pulling down of those strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, Lord, I ask you today, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But every tongue that rises up, we shall condemn. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, for a holy anointing, a holy focus come upon this congregation. Let them be receptive to the Word of God. Anoint their ears. Let every man that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Could you clap your hands unto the Lord? And if you're radical and bold enough, could you lift your voice and shout hallelujah? I don't think I heard you. Can you do it one more time? Could you clap your hands and shout with a voice? Come on, I don't think the devil heard you. Could you clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph? Amen. The bread, the altar, and the river. You may be seated. If I could get a little bit more monitor up here, that would be great. Thank you so much. The book of Ezekiel is filled with visions and great prophetic insight that God gives to the man, to the prophet, to the seer. And this very book is strategically located within an era, a time of Israel, a time of great despondency, a time of great distress, a time of national depression. And this man was called by the Lord to see things in the Spirit, to see beyond his very culture and to see beyond the very atmosphere that he found himself in times of captivity, in times of great conquest against the nation of Israel. Ezekiel was lifted up by the Lord and was able to see things beyond what his natural eye could see. And it's a very interesting concept, and I believe Paul references that in his writings, in his epistle, when he says, we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. There's something about walking by faith that sometimes will defy what your sight will tell you and what your sight will visualize and what your sight will perceive and what your sight and understanding will try to discern. If you are wanting to walk in the Spirit and you're wanting to see the things that God wants to show you and you're wanting to see what no eye has seen and hear what no ear has heard and to have what has not entered into the hearts of men, the very thing God has prepared for them that love Him, the very prerequisite to this is you need to understand that the things of God sometimes will defy and contradict the things that you see in your carnal flesh. For carnal minded is enmity to the spirit. And there will come times when God will prophesy and God will speak things into your atmosphere and God will say things into your spirit and God will speak great things into your heart. And all of a sudden, immediately after the word of the Lord has been spoken, you feel like your world has been turned upside down and you feel like your world now contradicts what God has spoken over your life. And I want to just drop this concept in. This is something that I feel like I'm going to do throughout the entirety of this service. Small revelations that God is wanting to release and unleash upon this congregation. And the very first one is that it's found in Ephesians chapter 6. And some of you may think I'm all over the place, but I'm just trying to establish a foundation for how the Word of God works in one's life. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 says, take upon you the whole armor of God. Take on the helmet of salvation. Take on the breastplate of righteousness. Take on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says, gird your loins with the truth. It says, pick up the shield of faith. And to finalize the armor, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I love it. I love it when preachers say the word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Although that word in that very verse, the word in the Greek is logos, which means the written word or the intent and the thought of God, the reasoning or the logic of God. But the word for the Greek in Ephesians chapter 6 is not logos. It's actually rhema. And the word rhema and the word logos differ from one another, because logos is the intent, the reasoning, the written word of God. But rhema is the spoken word of God. It's the spoken word of God. It's when God opens his mouth and he speaks and you can hear him audibly in your spirit. And God says, I'm going to save your family. I'm going to bring your kids back home. I'm going to save your lost husband. I'm going to do wonders in your family. I'm going to change your family situation around. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to heal your mind. I wish I had somebody here tonight. I want to heal your broken heart. I want to heal your distraught spirit. That's a rhema word. Can I preach you? You know I like to run the aisles, praise God. I'm a nightmare for live streamers, amen. So I'm all over the place, praise God. But it's a rhema word, which means it's a word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. It's the same word Jesus uses to shoo away the devil when he says, man shall not eat of bread alone, but of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's not logos, it's rhema, which means when you hear the word of God, it's like bread to your soul. It sustains you. It gives you the strength. It gives you the fortitude. It gives you the energy that you need to go through the trials of life. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know how the voice of God sounds like, that means you're starving spiritually. You're starving spiritually, because bread is what sustains us, is what gives us the nutrients and the sustenance that we need. And the Lord Jesus Christ equates bread to the rhema word of God. And I love it when I hear the logos being preached behind a mic. But I'm going to tell you, what sustains you through trials and situations is that rhema that hits your prayer closet. When you're all distressed and you're in sorrow and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go and you don't know what exit to take and you don't know exactly what the solution is, but you put your face to the carpet and you put your knees to the ground and you say, God, I need a word from you. God, I need you to speak to my spirit. The rhema is the bread that sustains us through the deserts and through the temptations of Satan, the devil, and this world. It is the rhema word that sustains us through the temptations of a wilderness, through the temptations of time and time again, the insistence, the repetition, the persistence of the enemy. It is the rhema that helps us. It is the rhema that sustains us through the dry, arid lands of the wilderness. But it's also the rhema that comes, and it is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. And I want you to just wait on me for just a moment right now. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it's interesting because when the rhema is released into one's life, it's not just a word, it's a weapon. And when it's a weapon, it's something that you need to use. It's something that you need to wield. It's something that you need to fight with. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks something to you, He does not speak something for you to wait on. He speaks something for you to war with. Why do you think when God speaks a word of salvation, the enemy quickly comes to attack? Because little does the church know, when God releases a rhema, He's releasing a weapon. And when He releases a weapon, He's initiating war. And the devil knows it, but the church still doesn't know it. And we're listening and we're looking and we're worried. And we're saying, God abandoned us. God left us. God forsook us. We don't know what we're going to do. No, baby, when God spoke to you, He gave you something for you to war with. And I'm come to the Pentecostals of Lodi and say, your armory is filled with rhema, word of God, for you to overtake the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that have plagued this region. I know, Brother Puentes, we need more prophecy. No, you don't. What you need is to begin to use what God has already released. You can stand there and think like, look at me like I got a third eye or something, but I'm here to preach to somebody today. If God promised you something, it's time for you to get up from your carcass. It's time for you to get up from your chair and your seat, and it's time to use what the Holy Ghost has dropped in your lap. It's time for you to war like you've never warred before. It's time for you to advance. It's the rhema. Ooh, my God. When God called me to the ministry, it was a rhema experience. Let me just be unconventional. Let me be controversial. An organization didn't call me. I'm going to get in trouble here tonight. An organization didn't call me, Brother Baumeister. That calling came in an intimate place with God. And the Lord said, I've called you to preach my gospel. It was a rhema word that hit my heart. And God says, here's a weapon. Now start slaying every deceptive lie of the enemy. Now start slaying every evil spirit and every voice that contradicts what I have spoken to you. It's the rhema. God, it's the sword of the Spirit. Ooh, no, brother, I'm waiting for it. No, you need to war for it. No, brother, I've been waiting for these many years. No, you've got a weapon and you haven't used it yet. I've come to wake up somebody in the Holy Ghost today. You've got more in your arsenal than you thought you had. You've got more in your hands than you thought you had. You've got enough to have the revival God has promised you to have. No, we need a little bit more help. You got the rhema word of God. You got the sword of the Spirit. Now it's time to go after every contradicting voice that wants to suffocate the plans of God over your life. I feel that strongly in the Holy Ghost today. It's time to begin to pierce some lies. It's time to begin to pierce some expectations. I'm fighting that right now. I'm pushing against that right now in the spirit. Come on, the enemy says, no, you got to just stay where you're at and keep on waiting. No, baby, the waters are stirred. It's time you get up and it's time you come in. There's angels in this house. God is sending resources to this building. It's time for somebody to wake up. You know how the Bible, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I feel somebody's coming alive in the name of Jesus. I feel like somebody's coming out of dormancy. I feel like somebody is coming out of where they used to be. That valley of dry bones, the Bible says, there arose a great mighty army, which means the valley of dry bones were bones at first, but they were turned into a mighty army. God can turn bones into warriors. God can turn bones into fighters. God can turn bones into conquerors. What's interesting is the Bible says in the book of Joshua, as the people of God are about to enter into the promised land, the Bible says God spoke to Joshua and said, the men that were mighty in war perished in the wilderness because they did not obey the word of God. And it's possible to have the armor. It's possible to have the sword. It's possible to have every resource we possibly can have to overcome our promised land, but we still perish in the wilderness. Warriors can succumb to the grain of sand of the outskirts of promise. Ha! I know of many that had words from God, were capable of possessing and were capable of advancing, but they are no longer with us, Brother Baumeister. They're no longer sitting in the same chair you were sitting. Why? Because they were too busy waiting for the things they needed to press forward to war for. I don't know if the promise is enough for you to war for, but God has promised me some big things. God has promised me great revival in California. God has promised me great revival in North America. And I can't just get my lawn chair and chill at the outskirts of a promise. I need to wake up and I need to move forward. It's possible to succumb to the alluring temptations of being in the outskirts of what God has promised us to possess. Ooh, it's possible. And this is why Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 47, he's watching, he's seeing as the oracle of God, he's beginning to see this vision. And God begins to show him of a temple. And I want to emphasize this, and I want to accentuate this very profoundly, that this temple was not a physical temple. It was a spiritual temple. It was a vision that Ezekiel was seeing. It was a vision that God was showing Ezekiel. It was not a physical temple, but it was something he was seeing in the spirit. The Bible says that God began to show Ezekiel the pattern of this temple. And all of a sudden, this man with the line in his hand appears in the scenario. He enters into the scene and begins to measure everything that Ezekiel sees in the spirit. Everything that Ezekiel begins to watch and begins to see in the spirit, this man with the line in his hand begins to measure. And he turns around every single moment and he says, these are the measurements of the articles, the instruments, and the furniture of the temple. What you have to understand is that every time the temple was constructed physically, the edifice, the actual structure in this earth, every time it was composed, or every time it was eradicated, or I'm sorry, every time it was erected, every time it was built, every time there was a pattern to this specific structure. God was interested in how his temple was going to be built. God was interested in how the tabernacle was going to look like. And so he goes to Moses and shows him up the mountain. These are the measurements of the tabernacle. You're going to make it like this, cubits and lengths, and you're going to make it of this dimension, and you're going to have these measurements, and you're not going to do it your way, Moses. You're not going to do it the way the people of Israel are accustomed. You got to understand, Israel knew how to build cities, and they knew how to build pyramids, and they knew how to build palaces for Pharaoh, but God wanted a different blueprint for his tabernacle. Which means if we're going to build a house for God to abide in, it can't be our way. It can't be done the way we want it to be done. And some people come and think because they tithe to a church, they're the owners of that church. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, upon this rock I will build my church. The church doesn't belong to an organization. I'm going to say that one more time. The church doesn't belong to an affiliation. The church doesn't belong to an organization or an association. There's one builder of the church, and his name is Jesus. And so if God wants a tabernacle to be instituted on earth, he's got some measurements. He's got some procedures. He's got a plan. And he's got a blueprint that he wants Moses to follow. This is going to be the length of the altar. This is going to be the length of the showbread. You're not going to make it 1 inch more or 1 inch less. You're going to abide by these parameters. You're going to abide by this process. Because if you want me to live there, you're going to do it my way. My God, if you want me to abide there, you got to do it the way I want you to do it. If you do your own thing, you worship your own God, you worship your own measurements, you worship your own mentality, you worship your own understanding. But if you do it God's way, it's a place God can inhabit. That's why when you come to church, you have to change blueprints. I know it's quiet in this house. That's why the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Which means when you come to Christ, Christ takes away the blueprint of wherever it is you came from, whatever abuse you had, whatever trauma you've been living with, whatever toxic relationship you were under, whatever other type of thing and situation you were going through. And God says, now I want you to abide by my blueprint. And God's blueprint says, we need to be holy like he is holy. God's blueprint says, without holiness, none shall see the Lord. Let me just say this right now. God's blueprint is non-negotiable. You can't pick and choose what you want. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We got so many gospels that it's an amalgamation. It's a blend. It's a mixture of their blueprint. We'll put a little Bible in there, but we'll put a little philosophy too. We'll put a little Bible in there, but we'll also put some homosexual agenda in. I knew I was preaching in California because it got real tight right now. I don't care what Gavin Newsom is saying. I don't care what kind of... I don't care what kind of blueprint TikTok is talking about. I don't care what kind of blueprint Instagram is talking about. Give me the blueprint that's found in the Word of God. Moses, write this down. This is how big the altar is going to be. This is how big the candlestick is going to be.
This is how big the ark is going to be. These are the dimensions. These are the parameters. Moses does everything according to the word of the Lord. Then all of a sudden, Israel enters into Canaan. Now it's time to build a temple. And David can't build the temple because he's got too much blood in his hands. That tells you something. People that got blood on their hands can't build temples. Well, I got real quiet in here, man. People that kill other brothers. Should I come back next week? Come on, brother killers can't build temples. If you want to build a church with Jesus Christ, stop holding a sword in one hand, killing your brother with your tongue, killing your brother with God. You want the glory? It's time we be at peace, one with an. David, I don't want you fashioning the curtains and getting the bloods of other men. My God. I don't want you touching the sacred and getting the blood of the people that you murdered. I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I feel like I need to say this in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Come on, we need to build a church. And we don't need to build it by spreading blood. We don't need to build it by massacring others. We don't need to build it by tearing down the reputation of the church down the street. No, brother, we're part of the same body. We've got the same spirit. We were bought with the same blood. And people wonder why the ministry that they're put under or that they're put over in church isn't showing any results. I feel it, man. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Why? You're trying to build the church, but you're also trying to tear it down at the same time. And you build a couple bricks, but behind somebody's back, you're tearing the same bricks you just built up. Come on, you want unity over here, but at the dinner table, you're willing to chew out the pastor. You're willing to roast him, open fire, and eat him for lunch, dinner, and dessert. I'm going to tell you something. You can't build a church and tear down the brethren at the. Come on, God's pattern and God's blueprint says we need unity in the house of God. We need brothers to love each other. We need sisters to pray for each other. We need brothers to lay hands on one another. David, you can't build the sanctuary. But your son Solomon is going to build the sanctuary. Solomon is going to build it. But David, I'm going to give you the pattern. And I'm going to give you the blueprint. And you're going to pass it down to Solomon. And the book of Chronicles states this very occurrence where David passes down the blueprint that was given to him by the hand of the Lord. And he passes it down to his son before he passes away. That's so powerful. Because the greatest thing David left for Solomon was not a kingdom. It was not riches. It was not money. It wasn't fame. It was the blueprints of the temple of God. And the best thing you could do as a parent is show your child how to build a house for the Lord. Can I tell you something? My father's an immigrant. He came to this country in 1997. Doesn't have much money. Doesn't have a lot of possessions. Doesn't have a house to give me when he dies. But the greatest thing my father ever gave me was he gave me the blueprints of how to have a move of God. You can give your child the car and you can give him the 401k and you can give him your investment portfolio, but if you don't show him how to build a house for the Lord, you've given them nothing. I don't know about you, but I want to show my child what it looks like to lift your hands. I don't know about you, but I want to show my child what it looks like to run an aisle. I don't know about you, but I want to show this next generation what it looks like to have a move of the Spirit. I'm worried for this next generation because, Brother Baumeister, we're inheriting buildings that we didn't pay for. There's going to be somebody that's going to take this church, and they haven't sacrificed the way you've sacrificed. And they'll inherit great territory, great buildings, great structures, nice carpet, great chairs, great resources, nice money in the bank. But I have a fear for our generation that we may have the resources, but we don't have the blueprint. God, we don't know how to pray anymore. We don't know what it looks like to tarry in the altar. We don't know what it looks like to linger in the Spirit. We don't know what it looks like. There's an older generation that's passing away, and they knew how to fast. They knew how to consecrate. They knew how to devote themselves. I'm talking to a parent in this house. You need to pass down the blueprint. Pass down the truth. Hear, O Israel, our Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. What happened to parents repeating that to their children and saying, buddy, yeah, I might leave you some possessions, but the greatest thing I can leave you is a love for truth. The greatest thing I can leave you is this word of God. It may be dusty. It may be broken. The binder may be all out of whack. There may be pages falling off of it. But the greatest thing that I've ever possessed is a love for the truth. The pattern continues. I know I'm preaching a little bit. I told you I didn't preach for a week and a half. The pattern continues. Moses gets the pattern. Solomon gets the pattern. But then here's Ezekiel. And now Ezekiel gets the pattern of the temple. He gets the pattern, and I don't have time to go into this, but the Lord specifically speaks to Ezekiel and says, grab the pattern and show Israel. Show my nation what my temple should look like. And when you show them the pattern, they're going to be ashamed because the actual temple doesn't measure up to the parameters and the measurements of the spiritual temple. I want you to take the measurements of the altar. The man with the line in his hand, Brother Morton, goes to the altar. The first thing he measures is the showbread, the table of showbread. He measures it, and he says, go and tell Israel that their table of showbread lacks compared to the spiritual blueprint. And the showbread was where they would lay bread before the Lord daily. It's a type of the word of God, of sound doctrine. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to have the bread that is going to be offered before the Lord, and you're going to have bread in your house, you better have it under the same measurements that's found in the Word of God. You know how many people are going to come to the end, and they are going to come to shame because they are going to come to the realization that their showbread didn't look like the one it's found in the spiritual blueprint. Listen, that's why I don't fear people. I preach whatever is in the Word of God, no matter who it offends. Because I want my table of showbread. When God measures what my doctrine looks like, when God measures the word that is in my heart, when God measures the words that I preach, I want it to be the exact measurements that are found in the Word of God. God, I felt it in the Holy Ghost. There's coming an end time sweep of the Holy Ghost over the churches of North America. And God's coming to measure the table of showbread. What are we preaching behind our pulpits? What's the message that we're saying with the lives that we live? What's the type of doctrine that we hold true to? You know, there's people that they come to church and they've been in church for many years and they still haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. I didn't come to condemn you. I come to tell you, your table of showbread is a little bit short, and you need to add Jesus' name baptism to it. Because it's found in the Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Am I in an Acts chapter 2, verse 38 kind of church? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, not in the Trinity, not in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but you've got to be baptized. Anybody thankful for the name? No, we don't want to preach this because it's too offensive. Homosexuality is a sin. The effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God, according to Galatians chapter 5. If you want scripture, I can give you scripture. I'm not afraid to do it because at the end of the day, God's going to measure my table of showbread. God is going to measure my type of preaching. And if God tells me, hey, you need to preach repentance, and I don't preach repentance because I want more invitations and I want people to call me more because I don't want to offend anybody, my table of showbread is short. I want my doctrine, my gospel, to be under the same measurements of the gospel and the doctrine that's found in the Word of God. That's why you need to come to church and say, Pastor, preach to me. Preach to me, preacher. Preach to me. I know it may hurt sometimes. I know I may be living in a relationship I shouldn't be living in, but preach to me, preacher. I need to make it to heaven. I need to make it at the end of the day. I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be damned. Next thing he measures the table of showbread, and then he measures the altar. You know, it's incredible to me. God doesn't only measure our doctrine, but God measures our consecration. God measures our devotion. God, we're wanting to pass through with giving him the most minimal. What's the most minimal thing I can give him? Give us a 20-minute message. Nothing more than 20 minutes, please. You know what? I don't know about all that hooping and hollering and dancing and shouting. I don't know if I can give that to the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you need to come before the Lord and you need to measure the altar, you need to understand and come to the realization, my altar needs to be the same measurements as the altar that is in the spiritual blueprint. My sacrifice, my worship. That's why the Bible says offer him a sacrifice of praise. You think people want to praise God willingly? No, sometimes it's a sacrifice. but I gotta do it. Sometimes I don't want to jump up and down, but I gotta do it. Sometimes I don't want to dance before the Lord, but I gotta do it. Sometimes I don't want to clap my hands, but I gotta do it, because I need to give him glory that is due unto his name. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice of worship. God wants to measure our devotion, our consecration. He wants to measure our doctrine. He wants to measure our altar. Just imagine the face of Israel when Ezekiel came and said, your altar's too short. God showed me the dimensions of the true altar. And the true altar in comparison to your altar comes short. It falls short. Just imagine their response and their reaction. We thought we were doing it right. We thought everything was according to the dimensions and the parameters. But come to the realization you were short this entire time. I don't want to get to the end and realize I could have given more to God, but I didn't do it. I want to have every service like it's my last service. Come on, I want every prayer meeting where I can pray like it's my last prayer meeting here on this earth. Come on, it's not time for the pastor to beg us to lift our voices. It's not time for the preacher to beg you to respond in the message. It's not time for the worship leader to beg you to lift your hands. It's time for you to give God the best you can ever give him. Don't wait till next month. Don't wait till things get better. Don't wait till you have cash in the bank. Do it right now. I want to measure up to the altar of the spiritual blueprints. Shanda, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Could you lift your voice like if this was your last service? Could you pray like this was your last service? Come on, could you press like this was your last service? This may be somebody's last service. I don't want to get to heaven and say, I could have prayed more. I don't want to get to heaven and say, I could have fasted more. I don't want to get to heaven and the record of my life passed through my eyes and I see services where I just went through the motions. You know, that's how heaven's going to look like. Your life is going to pass through your eyes and you're going to see every service you attended and you're going to see the times you said, I don't want to worship. I don't want to lift my voice. I don't want to lift my hands. I really don't feel like it. It was a hard day at work. Listen, I know it happens to all of us, but let not this service be one of those services. Let us look back to this service and say, we gave it all we got at Restore Conference at Pentecostals of Lodi. I didn't keep anything behind. I didn't keep anything for myself. I left it all in the altar. I left it all in the presence of God. I left it all in the service. I want you to stand to your feet. God. The last thing, the man with the lion in his hand began to measure. The last thing he showed Ezekiel was the river. Oh, God. It was the flow of the Spirit of God. Because not only in the temple, you need to understand this. You need to understand this right now. What does the Bible say? we are temples of the Holy Ghost. Which means in every temple there's showbread, in every temple there's altars, but in every temple there's a flow. There's bread, there's altars, and there's rivers, and God measures them all. God measures them all. Oh, God, where are we lacking? Where the Spirit of God is saying, listen, you've got a little bit more measurements, a little bit more inches, a little bit more centimeters to go. You're missing a little bit on here. You're missing a little bit there. And the Bible says that the man with the line in his hand, if I can get a piano player, the man with the line in his hand, oh God, he begins to measure. And you know what the interesting part of this is? I don't want you to get distracted. Just listen to my voice for just a moment. Listen to my heart for just a moment. The Bible says that he begins to measure, and he measures a certain amount of cubits, and the waters were to the ankles. You know what's so interesting about that, Brother Clem? He's not measuring towards the sanctuary. He's measuring away from the sanctuary. What does that mean? That means the deep places in God are not only found in the sanctuary, but they're found when you go out of the sanctuary. I'm not saying forsaking the assembling of the brethren together. No, no, no. We still need to come to church. But church should not be the only place you experience the river of the Holy Ghost. Brother Drew, I love it. Because it's not meant to finish here. It's meant to start here. Some of us finish our spiritual experience when we hit the parking lot. And we got to wait till next service to restart and jumpstart the river of the Holy Ghost again in our lives. When in reality, the service is meant to impulse you. So when you leave this house, you pray more than when you prayed in this altar. You worship more than what you worshiped up in this altar. Us apostolics, man, we're good at starting things. But it's not just a Sunday relationship with God. It's got to flow in the Monday. It's got to flow in the Tuesday. It's got to flow in the Wednesday. And guess what? Every time it flows, it's got to get deeper. And it's got to get deeper. I love when I come to church, but I'm going to tell you the most intimate moments I have with God are in my prayer closet back home. Nobody's there. There's no piano player. There's no preacher screaming in my ear saying, pray, 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 pray. I'm not saying we can't have deep moments up here, but there's something deep about you doing it when no one is watching. God, Shandarasata. Well, pastor's watching, I should lift my hands. Well, pastor's watching, I should maybe shed a tear. What happens when pastor isn't there? The man begins to measure away from the sanctuary. When we have church-only spiritual experiences, we're devout from the depths of the Spirit of God. I love it. We can have some deep places right up here. But here is just the beginning. And the further you get away, the deeper you go into the presence of God. It's a time of intimacy. It's a time of relationship. What's crazy is it measures to the ankles. You know, man, you all many apostolics are ankle-deep Christians. And they think this is all that God has for me. This is all that God has in store for me. But according to the blueprint of the sanctuary of heaven, the man with the line in his hand continues. Which tells me the flow of God's Spirit has the capacity to go beyond the ankles. forfeiting a depth in the spirit because you just want to be at the shoreline. You think, well, if it just hits my ankles, I think that's all I'm going to get from the Lord. It's a lie from the enemy. Because according to the pattern of heaven, the river continues. And it goes into the knees. But it doesn't just stop there. The Bible says the man measures and he goes further. And it goes into the loins and then he goes further. And it goes to waters that are passed over. Waters that you can swim in. What am I trying to do today? I'm trying to convict somebody to measure your flow. Measure your flow. Measure your flow. How deep do we get in the altar calls and then we stop? Because we don't think God has anything else for us. No, you know what? I want the afterburner. No, you know what? I want to talk to my friends after service. No. You know what? My buddy came to this conference and I want to spend some time with him. You're falling short to where the Holy Ghost wants to take you here tonight. You feel that weight? You know what that weight is meant to do? That weight is meant to press you into deeper waters here tonight. It's meant for you to come to the realization there's more in the Spirit of God for you than what you have accessed so far. I want this to spark a revival in this church. We've been hitting the ceiling, maybe hitting the wall and saying, well, this is all we got. I'm going to tell you, that wall wasn't placed by God. There's a line in the hand of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is saying, if you allow me today, I want to surpass the parameters that you've placed and the limitations that you've placed over my presence and over my spirit. When's the last time we've seen miracles, signs, and wonders? When's the last time we saw the blind eyes open? When's the last time we saw cancer disappear? When's the last time? Listen, this isn't a hype service. I understand it's a long service. I understand I had a lot to say. But I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. God wants to show you how far he's willing to take you. How far he's willing to take you in his spirit. It's a place of dreams and visions. It's a place of the prophetic. It's a place of the supernatural. I want you to lift your hands with me today. And if you're used to going ankle deep waters, I challenge you in the Holy Ghost today. Can you take a step of faith here tonight? Could you challenge the very limitations you placed over your own mind and say, well, you know what? I can't go past this. Could you challenge the very voice in your head that says, you've gotten everything God has in store for you? Could you be like Peter and step out of the boat and say, if I want to be where Jesus is at, it's going to require me to walk on the waters. It's going to require me to be in places I've never been in before. It's going to require me to pray in a tenacity that I've never prayed in before. It's going to require a certain fervency that I haven't demonstrated just yet. I know my limitations, but I know the Spirit of God is wanting to lead me past my limitations. I want you to lift your hands, and if you feel to come to this altar, I want you to come to this altar right now. I want you to come rushing to this altar right now. Come on.
I want you to come with your hands lifted. If you don't mind, brethren, we're not going to have any songs for just right now. I may call on you later, but right now this is a solemn moment in the Holy Ghost. Could you come as close as you can right now? Let the Holy Ghost challenge you. Let the Holy Ghost challenge you. Come on, Pentecostals of Lodi, you've been here before. Come on, these are comfortable waters. Come on, these are waters you're known for. These are waters you're used to. God is saying, there's a man with the line in his hand, and he's wanting to go deeper. That's it. That's it. Come on, you ought to pray until it hurts. Come on, you ought to pray until your voice is gone. Come on, you ought to pray. You ought to pray. You ought to abide by the pattern. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. And say, I could have given more. I could have prayed harder. I could have yelled. I could have lifted my voice. Come on. Come on, defy. 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 Defy the measurements you placed on God. mountain. There's healing in the deep. There's restoration in the deep. There's an anointing in the deep. Why don't you lay hands on somebody right now? The Holy Ghost is flowing in this house. Come on, there's the miraculous. There's the supernatural.
Give myself away. So you can feel me on. Give myself.
We can access in unity. There's a place we can go in unity.
I can't.